Welcome back, Crime Lighters.
Anyways,
it's been a month.
Yeah,
guys, it's been a whole month since we've made a podcast, which is crazy.
Shout out to the Bat Eaters.
Thanks for that shit. So we are finally at a place where we can record a podcast. So welcome back. We are so thankful you're here.
And this episode is very loaded.
Oh, I forgot to introduce myself.
Yeah, that's it. We forgot to.
If you're new here, hi, I'm your host, Ashton Fowler.
And I'm your co-host and comedic relief, Brooke Finch.
This whole thing is all over the place, but I love it. It's fine. Yeah. Welcome back. We're so glad you're here.
We're so glad you're finally here.
Get out. Gross. Disgusting.
Kyle till I die.
Okay, anyways, continue.
Okay, so this case, we were talking about it while I was researching it. This case is actually the one that made us think to start a podcast. Yes.
So we were driving one day and we were talking about our final project in a class that we both took different years.
Yes, we took forensics.
Yeah, forensic science. And we had the same teacher, and she gave us the final assignment that we had to do a cold case, which is an unsolved case. And yeah, I had to get closer to the microphone. And we had to do a cold case, and this was Ashton's cold case that she did. So this is the one that sparked Crime Light.
This is the one that started it all, man.
So, hope y'all enjoying this shit.
This is a milestone for us. This is where it all started, man. Making it full circle around the block.
Episode 4 is a special one.
Yeah, episode 4. So,
continue.
Introducing the Zodiac Killer. I'm titling this one, The Zodiac Killer, Astrology Girls Are Quaking.
Dun, dun, dun.
Astrology girls are quaking.
Y'all are quaking. Bitches are quaking.
All right, so let's go ahead and get right into it. I'm very excited about this one because I've said this in like all 4 episodes that we've made together, but this is one of the ones that I first got into, like really researched, and it's one of my favorites.
She says that about every episode.
I know. But truly, truly, this one is very dear to me because it started all. This is where in forensic class, I decided that this was where I wanted to do with my life. I'm not doing that with my life anymore, but I have a podcast. So what the fuck is up, Mrs. Belcher?
Imagine us, like, 80 years old, like, doing this shit.
Absolute zillionaires from fucking podcast. Wow. Imagine. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and get right into it. I'm very excited about this one.
Yes.
So, Zodiac Killer. Mm-hmm. Some people call him the most infamous unidentified serial killer. Which, how many of you know a whole lot of unidentified serial killers?
Not me, bitch.
Exactly, because they're all pretty much identified. Like they all get caught. So they got gotted. So this guy is one of the ones that has evaded police capture for over 50 years, and he could very well be one of the most infamous unidentified serial killers in our nation.
Man's could still be around.
He actually could be. He'd be very, very, very old, but yeah, he could be alive.
This started when my mom was born, and that bitch 51. Sorry, Lita.
So, go ahead and bag Lita on the podcast, all right? Oh. So, Zodiac Killer taunted investigators with ciphers and letters. Mm-hmm. And in these ciphers and letters, he claimed to have hidden his name and other case-breaking information. His identity, like I said, has never been uncovered. And in his letters, he even made phone calls. So in these letters and phone calls, he is claimed to have killed 37 people, but only 6 have been confirmed.
Which is stupid smart. Like, I know that's contradicting, but like, just like, bro, the fact that he sent letters and made calls to police and they still ain't found this man.
Yeah,
like, every single night that man went to sleep and nobody, the police wasn't banging on his door, he was like, bonus point.
Zodiac one. SFPD 0.
Period.
I love
Mans
that.
Was really killing it, but he was also...
No pun intended there either.
but what was I gonna say? He's very, what did you say? He's very narcissistic.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. No, 1,000%.
No, definitely evading police capture must have given this guy some level of power. And
he a bad bitch, period.
Just his ego through the roof, bitch. Through the roof.
I get away with lying to my parents, and I think I'm the shit. This man lied to people who train for this.
Yeah, exactly. It's ego boosting for sure. Okay, so I'm gonna go ahead and start us off with a little bit of background, and I'm not gonna start with
like all facts.
Yeah, I'm not gonna start with like the victims or anything first. I'm gonna start with the first letter.
Yes.
So we start our story off on August 1st, 1969 in California. That's where this is set. Mm-hmm. So there are three letters that are sent to the three major newspaper distributors. You've got the Vallejo Times, the San Francisco Chronicle, and the San Francisco Examiner. Okay. So, Brooke, I'm going to have you read what the letter said, part of what it said, because it's pretty long, but I figured I'd just put in, like, the most important part.
Okay.
So, here you go.
Dear editor, this is the murderer of the two teenagers from last Christmas at Lake Herman and the girl on the 4th of July near the golf course in Vallejo. To prove I killed them, I shall state some facts which only I and the police know.
Okay, so then he lists off things like the brand of ammo that was used, how many shots were fired, what the victims looked like when he left them, and that's how, like, police would have found them, mm-hmm. Where their wounds were, what they were wearing, obviously stuff only he and police would know.
Yeah.
So it was pretty, like, you know,
pretty convincing.
Man's got credentials. Like, he's a credible source.
He got that credit.
So when you look at the letter, like, his handwriting is, like, sloppy and slanted. So you can tell it's a guy.
Anyways, he bagged the mask.
And his spelling is, like, really bad. One of the, like, there are certain words where you're like, how could you misspell that? One of the words that he misspells that's, like, most notable and comes in to play later is the word Christmas. He spells it with two S's at the end, so Christmas.
We love an illiterate king.
You're an illiterate king.
Fuck you.
So at the end of the letter is a cipher, and he has something to say about the cipher.
So just so y'all know, this is like reading a drunk text from a friend. It makes you feel dyslexic as fuck.
Yes. Because, like I said, has horrible spelling. So
just imagine that.
Yes.
Here is part of the cipher. The other two parts with this cipher are being mailed to the SF Times and Vallejo Examiner. I want you to print this cipher on the front page of your paper. In this cipher is my identity. If you do not print this cipher by the afternoon of Friday, 1st of August 69... I will go on a kill rampage Friday night. I will cruise around all weekend killing lone people in the night, then move on to kill again until I end up with a dozen people over the weekend.
So you see, when she messed up, it's hard to read. Like, he spelled Fry, meaning Friday night. He spelled it Fry, but F-R-Y. So, and it's just like Aug 69. Like, it's just like the whole thing is just like super weird.
Killing lone people in the night.
Yeah. And he, with the dozen people, you know, he's calling himself Zodiac.
Mm-hmm.
There's 12 Zodiac signs.
Mm-hmm.
So he's going to kill a dozen people over the weekend.
Which is so fucking clever. Like,
okay.
No, I'm like, just when you think of the number 12, like, you don't automatically think of, like, Zodiac. I don't know. Anyways, that's just my opinion. I think, like, that's, like, just his name is, like, so cool.
Yeah. I mean, there are a couple of things that come into play that I'll explain later that could explain why it's called Zodiac, but...
Period.
Yeah. So, this cipher is a bunch of, like, random shapes and letters jumbled up together. But, you know, you get sent a cipher, like... I mean, I would assume we would know, and they would know, like, you're supposed to
decode that shit.
Yeah. So... it was meant to be decoded. And this is, like, a blatant taunt at investigators, because who the hell there was supposed to, like, solve something like this?
Yeah.
Like, if it's just a bunch of, like, random things on a piece of paper, and he's like, here you go, here's my identity. That's such a power move, like you said. Like, it's just him throwing, like, here, the key to everything could be in this. Solve it, bitches. And just Z-snap.
Like,
ooh, Zodiac snap, and walk away. That's
like,
what it's about.
Just, like, dangling the answer right in front of their face. But, like, so fucking complex.
Yeah. So it's crazy. So he also, like it said, he wanted that cipher printed on the front pages of those newspapers by that afternoon, which is almost impossible for a morning paper to, like, be working already on the afternoon edition and have to put some new shit on it on the front page. Like, no, they've already got everything put together. They're printing it out. Like, it's pretty crazy. It would make things so hectic.
Yeah.
So they're like, people are like, you know what? We should just put it on the front page. And what a lot of the newspapers end up doing, not a lot of, there's three of them, so all of them, what they end up doing is putting it, like, towards the front, but kind of towards the middle as well. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, the San Francisco Chronicle put it on page 4.
Okay.
So,
like, we'll give you what you want, but not exactly what you want.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, what's the risk of 12 people getting killed?
Mm-hmm. Right. That's such a small thing to leverage, right? So, yeah. So, now we're going to go ahead. I'm going to go ahead and talk about the victims that were mentioned in that particular letter. So, the people that he was talking about were David Faraday, Betty Jensen, and Darlene Farren. So David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen were two teenagers. David was 17, Betty was 16. And he called them the Christmas murders, but they were actually killed on December 20th, 1968.
Okay.
So here's the story. It makes me really sad. But David Faraday and Betty Lou Jensen were going on their first date, and they ended up in kind of like a lover's lane remote parking area next to Lake Herman in Vallejo, California. So, like I said, it was isolated, it was remote, there's no witnesses, but police officers could piece things together from the scene as to what happened. Mm-hmm. So it can be concluded that Zodiac approached the car and fired shots into it as an effort to get the couple out of the car. Mm-hmm. So it worked. Faraday was shot at point blank range in the head one time as he got out of the car, and then Jensen was shot 5 times in the back as she tried to run away, and both of them died. So then July 4th, 1969, a girl named Darlene Farren and her lover, Michael Mageau, she was actually married. Fun fact. She was married, and she was kind of involved with Michael, and they were talking about getting married even though she was already married. And she
Words
was,
unite.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Sorry.
Woo!
Sorry.
So, moving on. They were stopped at an isolated location in the Blue Rock Springs Park near the edge of Vallejo. Mm-hmm. They were just talking, and then this car randomly pulls up and shined its brights. Like, there were no other cars. It was just them. That seems to be a theme for the Zodiac.
Yeah, and dates. He seems jealous.
That is an jealous interesting...
little bitch.
Interesting theory, because we'll talk more about, like, how he feels about
women.
That was
literally my first thought, like, when he killed the... when you said that he killed the first couple, but anyways.
Yeah, we can talk about how he feels about women, because I do have a theory on that.
Like women.
Yeah. Honestly, awesome, that's about it. That's about it. So, when he pulled up to their car with his brights on, being the only car, they're like, ah, shit, like... it's a cop. You know, they're on a lover's lane. They're
Which,
like,
yeah, makes sense.
Yeah, they're like, oh, it's a
cop.
They're
at a popular teenager spot.
Exactly. So they're getting ready to comply with law enforcement. So they're pulling out IDs and stuff. So Michael rolls down his window, and he starts to talk to the police officer. And the police officer is like, get out of the car. And he's like, what are we doing? Like, we're not doing anything wrong. So then when they aren't complying with that, 5 shots are fired into the car. And then into the couple. So then Zodiac goes back to his car, comes back to their car, and then shoots both of them each 2 more times. Darlene was shot a total of 5 times, and Mageau was shot 4 times. So about 45 minutes later, Vallejo PD received a call from a man claiming to be responsible for the attack, and he identified the weapon, and it was a 9mm handgun. And he was like, this is the gun that I used, and... sure enough, when they did the autopsy and went to the crime scene, they're like, well, I'll be damned.
That is the gun that he used.
I'll be damned. That is the gun. And so...
I'll be goddamned. Shout out to Sergio.
Mageau survived and Farren did not. Damn. So those are the two cases that he's talking about. And until this point, so mind you, this is in August when they get the letter. this happened in December of 68 and a month earlier in July. So these have been unsolved. They have no idea who's done this. So yeah. All of a sudden, they're getting a letter of a guy claiming to have done these.
And all of them linked now.
Yes, and then giving details as
that must be
only...
That a fucking game changer.
Yeah, as only the killer would know. Mm-hmm. So you've got San Francisco PD, Vallejo PD, FBI. They are all over this cipher, and they cannot crack it. And this is one of my favorite parts of this case. I'm not even kidding. You have a couple in Salinas, California. They are sitting at their breakfast table with their morning edition of the paper about 12 hours after this goes out. The husband's a history professor, and the wife... She's just his wife.
She's just an ordinary girl. I'm waiting to do that.
She's just his wife. And they sit down and he goes, what do you think of this code? And kind of, you know, slides it across the table. She shakes the paper and she's like, huh. And they sit down and they crack the fucking code.
What a fucking move.
Isn't that insane? You've got three different
police... Put them on the police force.
Exactly. You've got three different police forces and the FBI working on this code. And you just have a professor sit down with his orange juice and cornflakes and be like,
fuck you.
I got this shit in the bag. I thought that was so badass. I loved that.
No, literally. Oh my gosh.
Isn't that amazing? Okay, so this is what it ended up saying. And keep in mind...
Wait, I bet the Zodiac Killer was pissed that a girl... A woman!
The gumption of a woman to solve his
to
shit.
To do anything but breathe?
Amen. Wow. So, keep in mind, I'm going to read what the cipher said. The language is a little strange because he had to spell it out letter by letter, so it's kind of weird. But bear with me. Mm-hmm. So it said, I like killing people because it is so much fun. It is more fun than killing wild game in the forest because man is the most dangerous animal of all. To kill something gives me the most thrilling experience. It is even better than getting your rocks off with a girl. The best part of it is when I die, I will be reborn in paradise and all that I have killed will become my slaves. I will not give you my name because you will try to slow down or stop my collecting of slaves from the afterlife. What kind of whack shit? this whole thing is just absolute... Say it, Brooke.
Bitches be bonkers!
Bitches be bonkers! I cannot stress that enough. Bitches be bonkers. I don't... This whole thing, like, it's hard not to laugh because you look at the language and you're like...
Make it make sense.
Yes, he's like, killing something is better than
getting... And then afterlife, slaves. Bro, where is the logic?
No, the man's on some fuck shit. Like, it... like, for real.
Man's definitely on some drugs.
Yeah. So...
Is he really?
I don't know.
Probably.
It was the 60s. I don't know. Everyone was on drugs. Okay, so... After the whole, Darlene Farran and, Michael Mageau thing... In September of 1969, you have a couple. Their names are Brian Hartnell and Cecilia Shepherd. They were relaxing on a blanket next to Lake Berryessa in Napa, California. And they're just chilling, having a cute little picnic date, talking it up. And then all of a sudden, there's a man in a strange costume approaching them. So let me describe this costume
Ted Bundy
for you.
Type shit.
Oh, so I will talk about that in a second. Hang on. So... He's in a strange costume, so he's, like, it's all black, mm-hmm. and he has, like, it's a mask that's covering his face, but it's, like, kind of like a bag, kind of, like, the way they drew it. Mm-hmm. It looks kind of like an executioner's hood. Have you ever seen what that looks like, in the old days?
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's got eye holes cut out, but it's, like, all black, and then on his chest is, like, on his shirt, of the chest of his shirt is the Zodiac symbol. Mm-hmm. So for those of you who don't know what the Zodiac symbol is, it's a circle with a cross going through it. And it kind of looks like what's in the scope of a gun. And that's what police were linking it to. So that's what it looks like for picture reference. It's a circle and then a cross through it. So that is painted on his chest is from what they've said. Mm-hmm. So again, the letters that it's not necessarily saying that it was him, because I think that's kind of stupid for Zodiac to go out with, like, the zodiac symbol painted across his chest,
and
because it was printed in the papers too, so people, yeah, other people saw it, kind of thing.
Yeah, but and I mean, a circle with a cross through it is not that complex.
Like, no,
it's not that far fetched that someone else could have went out, yeah, and did it.
So anyways, just for reference, that's what he looked like. So, okay. Cecilia sits up from the blanket and sees this man approaching them, and she's like, "Yo, what?" And they're pretty secluded, you know, like they're pretty isolated in the area where they are. And then she sees that he has a gun. So she starts to freak out. Brian stands up and is ready to confront the guy, and then he pulls the gun. So he basically robs them. He takes the car keys, he takes their wallets, he takes everything. And he tells them that he has escaped from a prison in Montana and was fleeing to Mexico. So while he robs them, he has both of them, like, tie each other, like, their hands up, and then he binds their feet. And he's talking to them about how, like, you know, he's gonna flee, he's gonna go to Mexico, like, all this stuff. And, Brian's trying to, like, get his facts straight and stuff like that, and he's just trying to, like, keep him talking so that nothing happens to them. And then all of a sudden he begins to stab Cecilia, and he stabbed her 22 times in the back, and then he stabbed Brian 20 times in the back, and Cecilia ended up dying, but Brian survived. So a nearby fisherman called 911 after he hears all of this going on. I can't imagine that you wouldn't be able to hear what was going on. It sounds pretty horrific. So they take Cecilia and Brian to the hospital. Brian is able to recover, and Cecilia unfortunately dies.
I was about to make a really bad joke.
That's not. So police later found Brian's car not far from the crime scene, because, okay, again, they were just on like a little picnic date. And they on the side of his car is the dates of the Farron Majeau and Faraday Jensen attacks with the zodiac circle cross signature painted on it. So this is just all across the side of this man's car.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay, so speaking of Ted Bundy, Ted Bundy was actually a suspect in this case.
What the?
Yes. Ted Bundy was taken into custody and interrogated for this case, and
when worlds collide.
That's all I can think of. They had Brian Hartnell sit down and see if it was him. Like, they had him talk and all this stuff, and he's like, "No, he's not the same Bill. That's not his voice." And they let him go. So, but can you imagine?
Can you imagine seeing Ted Bundy in real life?
That's not what I was gonna say. Can you imagine having Ted Bundy in your custody? Because we're talking about this. Oh. This is 69.
Yeah.
This is right at the start of his killing career. They had Bundy in custody and let him go.
Police ain't shit.
So.
No offense. Sorry. I apologize.
Oh my god. We love 12 in this family. Sorry.
No, but that's. Oh, that's,
isn't that
so
crazy?
Cool. Yeah. I mean, not. Yeah. I'm not gonna lie. It's cool. I said what I said.
It's an interesting parallel to make. Yeah, for sure. Okay, so then that was September 27th. Okay. Now it is October 11th, 1969. There's a man named Paul Stein. He's a taxi cab driver, and he picks a man up around 9:30. So he reaches Washington and Cherry Street. That's near the Presidio.
Okay.
And when he reaches that intersection, he is also shot at point blank range in the back of the head. And Zodiac takes a large portion of his bloody shirt, like, cuts it off, and also leaves a fingerprint. However, it is the 60s, so fingerprinting, if you don't have anyone to compare it to, then you have nothing.
Yeah.
So it was kind of like a hit or miss with the whole, with the whole fingerprint thing. Yeah. So Zodiac ends up fleeing the scene, but residents of an apartment building nearby were able to give a general description to the police of what he looked like.
Okay.
So this is where we get the description. It is a white male, 25 to 30 years old, 5'8 to 5'9. It's a stocky build, reddish brown hair, and thick glasses, and all black clothing.
I don't think there's ever been a super abnormally tall serial killer that I know of.
I mean, I don't know their heights by...
But I'm saying, okay, I'm just, like, that's just an observation, but, like, hearing his height and, like, Ted Bundy.
You heard it here first, short people kill other people, so.
You heard it here first, short people are angry, and they take their anger out by killing people. And that's all shortism, dwarfism.
We hate short people on fuck the Carmite.
Jesus Christ. I'm sorry, like, that was just.
It is an observation. It is an observation. I don't know. I don't know.
No, because, like, think about it. Short people are less think about it. If a guy, like,
y'all, she really gonna go through with this?
If someone's killing someone and they're fleeing the scene, who are you gonna see first? A 6'4" man or a 5 foot tall man?
I just think they're people.
But I think they're. Whatever. All I know is God's a little...
Give us your thoughts. God's a little tricky. Text us after this what you think about short people. Are they serial killers or humans?
Are they meant to be serial killers?
Jesus
Christ. Natural selection at that point. Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. Continue. Okay. So like I said, with the description, you've got white male, 25 to 30 years old, 5'8", 5'9", stocky build, reddish brown hair, glasses, and black clothing. So when a APB is put out for this description, mm-hmm. you have two dumbass officers where all they hear is black. And so I don't know if their thing was breaking up, like their radio was breaking up or what, but all they heard was suspect fleeing the scene, black. So here's what happens. This shit is bonkers, okay? These two cops end up standing in about a mile radius of where this is, just trying to canvass out the area. Because at this point, they know what they're looking for. But these cops think they're looking for a black man. So they are standing, looking around, and a black man walks past them. And they pull him aside, and they're interrogating him. Obviously, he's not involved in any way. He doesn't have any of the bloody shirt on him. Like, nothing. So at this point, they know he's missing a piece of his shirt. They know he's supposed to have a gun, all that kind of thing. This black man has none of that on him.
Yeah.
And Zodiac walks right past them. So they later, they're like, yeah, we've got him, and we've got a suspect in custody. And, you know, the lady on the other end is like, would you be able to describe him for me? And he's like, yeah, a black male about 5'9". I'm sorry, what? Black male over. We said he was wearing black. And then they realize it is reiterated that no, he is white. He has reddish brown hair. He was wearing black. And they're like, you mean the guy we saw walk past us 20 minutes ago? You're fucking lying. You're fucking lying.
Where did that accent come from?
I went to New York all of a sudden. I don't know. I thought I was drunk. I don't know. But, yeah, so they're just like, they literally, Zodiac walked right past them. Because they were like, oh my God, a guy with that exact description. They're like, yo, that's fucking crazy. A guy that was like that description.
They're like, ah, ha, ha. And then yeah. They're like, wait, man's yeah. still out. Man's
still he out. Walked past them 20 minutes before while they were interrogating a black man because of... Anyways, isn't that insane? That's like, how do you so fuck crazy. Up a description that badly? Like, I where mean, all you pick up is male black. Like, Mance didn't have glasses. He didn't have reddish to brown hair. I'm fairly certain he was, like, 6 feet, and he was black, and he was, like, 20 years old. That is the opposite of the description that he was... that they were given.
Maybe they're born with it.
Oh, maybe.
Just maybe. It's a mental illness, isn't it? But anyways. Isn't that like some crazy fact that like you walk by a total of like...
You walk past 9 serial killers in your lifetime.
Yeah.
That's crazy. I'm glad I know that. That's great information. Just have say, in the back of my head. So anyways. I just think that story all the time. Whenever I hear that, it's just like, how do you fuck up that badly?
You had one job.
For real?
Literally one job.
They got the whole description wrong except for black, and that was it. Black clothing turned into black male, and they just interrogated him and let him go. They let Zodiac walk right past them. Isn't that insane? That's just like Ted Bundy. Fuck the California police departments. I don't...
Fuck the police.
This is insane.
What's that song that you played in the car that one time?
Fuck the police, coming straight from the underground.
Yeah.
I'm not going to sing the rest of it.
Encore!
So, okay, so this particular crime scene, so the Paul Stein cab scene, okay, is thought to be a robbery gone wrong.
Okay.
Because they're not, they don't know.
Is this with the caller?
No.
Is this with the caller?
Later.
Okay, sorry.
So... this one with Paul Stein, with the cab driver, It wasn't like, yo, we found Zodiac. It was just like, this is what the man looks like. And it was the same kind of description as they got at Lake Berryessa.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, they didn't make that connection right away. Yeah. So they just thought it was a robbery gone wrong until Zodiac sends them the piece of Paul Stein's shirt that was torn and missing. So this is what Zodiac says. He says, this is the Zodiac speaking. I am the murderer of the taxi driver over by Washington Street and Maple Street last night. To prove this, I have a bloodstained piece of his shirt. I'm the same man who did the people in by the North Bay area. That is the Berryessa murders. So that was his letter to them. Again, he wrote so many other letters, but like I didn't want to include all of them. So then, this one isn't actually confirmed. This isn't a confirmed, it's not confirmed that this was Zodiac, but it happened around the same time and could have been.
Mm-hmm.
And there are some things that point to it, but...
it's not 100%.
Yes, the description that the lady gives matches the description of the Zodiac that's been given over and over and over again. Okay, so this is March 22nd, 1970. So we've moved on to 1970.
A year later.
There is a woman named Kathleen Johns, and Kathleen is driving late, late, late at night with her baby in the backseat. She was driving last Friday on her way to Cincinnati on a snow white Christmas Eve.
Word.
Going home.
Word.
And daddy and the baby in the backseat.
Okay,
Carrie Underwood? No?
Yeah, I know. I know it. Cool. I wanted to let you have your spotlight.
So she's got the baby in the backseat, and she ends up having like a car drive really close behind her.
Mm-hmm.
It's like flashing its lights at her and honking at her. So she's like, what?
Fuck them drivers.
So she pulls over and some guy comes up to her window and he's like, hey, one of your back tires is like loose. Like it's like wiggling and It's about to come off. He's like, I have a kit in my car if you want and I can help fix it for you. Like I can just do it real quick. And she's like, oh my gosh, that'd be wonderful. Like, I would really appreciate that. So homeboy goes back to his car, gets the kit, and is supposedly fixing her wheel. All the while, it is Zodiac, and he supposedly, and is loosening it. So he's loosening her wheel.
Smart motherfucker.
So he goes back to her window, and he's like, hey, everything's fixed. You have a good night. Safe travels. And she's like, thank you so much. Like, wow.
She didn't think to check it?
No. I don't know.
Sorry, girl, but you a little stupid.
I mean, it's late at night, you've got a baby. I would probably want to get back on the road, too. Like, at this point in the 70s, you're just trusting the kindness of strangers.
Yeah, but that's on trust issues, period.
But it's the 70s. That didn't exist.
Oh,
so,
yeah, you're right.
With strangers. So.
In 2020, bitches.
It really is. It really do be 2020.
Fuck 2020.
Jesus Christ. So, she gets back on the road, and about 10 minutes into her drive, her tire falls completely off.
Oh my gosh.
So, guess who's behind her still?
The Zodiac.
Homeboy's still behind her. So, you know, she pulls over, she's freaking out, and he's like, man, you really must have, like, a bad, like, it must be something with your axles, or, like, your tire's really bad, like, maybe, he's like, I don't know, but it's broken. Like, I can't fix this. And he's like, well, he's like, where are you going? Like, I can take you. And she's like, can you really? That'd be wonderful. And, you know, it's the 70s and everyone talks like this. And that'd be wonderful. Thank you. So she and her baby, Kathleen Johns and the baby, get in the car. And she is driving down with him. And he ends up out of the fucking left field, ends up looking at her and goes, you know, I'm going to kill you and your baby, right? And she's just like,
word.
Motherfucker, say what? Word?
Wait, so are you for real?
say
it again.
Say psych. Say psych right now. Say psych, say psych right now. So she starts to freak out, right? So she's just
valid.
Yeah, she's in the front seat of a man that just calm, casually, nonchalantly,
so cash money,
looks at her and is like, "You know, I'm gonna kill you and your baby, right?" Like suave, like maybe bit his bottom lip, kind of thing, like that kind of weird, the kind of weird suave, like.
And that's hot.
She's freaking out and she's like, "I have to get the fuck out of here." So she ends up taking her baby and somehow escaping from the car and hitching another ride.
What a queen.
So she is under the impression and has brought it to police attention that it was probably Zodiac. And when she described him, she described, white male, 25 to 30, 5'8", 5'9", stocky build, reddish brown hair, glasses, and an all black outfit.
I just thought about if one of the victims listened to our podcast, what they would think of me.
Oh. Maybe you should be a little bit more gracious.
I'm sorry.
Okay. So those are all, like, the victims. We have one supposed victim, but we have the other ones that are completely confirmed. Mm-hmm. So this crazy thing happens where after that whole Kathleen Johns thing, the Oakland Police Department gets a call from a man claiming to be the Zodiac, saying that he wants to speak with Marvin Belli and Jim Dunbar on their TV show. So they're just famous TV talk show hosts.
Okay.
And this guy is like, "I will kill more people unless you let me talk to them."
Word.
So then you get a letter from Zodiac that says something along the lines of, he's threatening to shoot up a school bus. And he threatens to pick off the kitties as they come bouncing out.
What the fuck?
Yeah, no, it's demented and grotesque. And so, after that letter, he's like, "Let me speak to them or I'm gonna do it." And they're like, "All right,
let the
shit.
Man speak."
So, I have the dialogue from the call on my notes. And I'm gonna be Dunbar and Belli. And Brooke is gonna be
Collar
or Zodiac, supposedly. Ooh. So when they are talking to him at first, he's really like heavy breathing, like into the phone. And they're like, "What do we call you?" And he's like, "Sam." They're like, "Okay, Sam." So this is Dunbar. And he says, "Talk to us. Just tell us what's going on inside you. Right now, please."
"I have headaches."
And Dunbar goes, "Right." And Belli says, "How long have you had those headaches, Sam? Has it been a long time?"
"Since I killed a kid."
So then there's some more dialogue here, but it's unimportant, so I skipped the important part. So Dunbar says, "Well, let's find out why he wanted to talk to... Why did you want to talk to Mr. Belli, Sam?"
"I don't want to be hurt."
"You're not going to be hurt. You're not going to be hurt if you talk to me." And he said something earlier about wanting to go to the gas chamber. So Dunbar says, "You're not going to the gas chamber." And then Belli responds with, "I wouldn't think they'd ask for capital punishment. We should ask for the district attorney. You want me to do that, Sam? You want me to talk to the district attorney?" At this point, Sam screamed, "What was that?"
"I did not say anything. That was my headache."
"Sounds like you're in a great deal of pain. Your voice sounds muffled. What's the matter?"
"My headaches. I'm so sick. I'm having one of my headaches." "I'm going to kill them. I'm going to kill all those kids."
And then he hung up. And they're like, "Wait, no, don't do that. Don't do that." And they were trying to get him back.
"Don't kill yourself.
That'll ruin the trip." So they're like, "Bro, like, don't do that. Like, please don't." They try
to
get a hold of him again.
That's not what you have to do.
Now, that is not actually confirmed if that is Zodiac.
Yeah, for sure.
But, because anyone at this point, the Zodiac case had become so big.
He was popular.
Yeah. Anyone, he had mentioned that he sent a letter that was saying, like, he wanted people to be wearing buttons of his symbol, of his circle cross symbol. And he was like, he sent a letter that literally said, like, "I'm really kind of upset that people aren't wearing my buttons." And he was like, "If you don't start selling them, I'll kill more people." So there were some people wearing some circle cross buttons to appease a serial killer. Yeah, it's insane.
The control that he had
Yeah, wow. No, it's asinine. It really is. So, Zodiac ended up claiming to have killed 37 people. But, like I said, we only have 6 confirmed. So, we're going to get into... There are a couple of suspects in this case. However, there is one that keeps me up at night. And I was talking... This episode, honestly, shout out to my friend Zach. Shout out to my friend Zach, bro. Because we were talking about this, and I was talking to him about what I think about this guy. This guy's name is Arthur Lee Allen. And I've been convinced for a very long time that... this guy was it. Like, he was the one that did it. And Zach brought it to my attention that maybe he did it. He was like, I don't know, he just fits too perfectly. Like, everything with this guy is just too perfect for him to be the answer. Like, it's just, it's a little strange. So I'm gonna go ahead and give you a couple of facts about Arthur Lee Allen and how he matches up as the Zodiac Killer. Okay, so like I said, his name is Arthur Lee Allen. So he made these claims to a friend named Dan Cheney. He said this. He said, I think I would like to maybe someday kill couples at random. Okay, so check. Like, what the fuck? He said, I would like to taunt police with letters detailing my crimes. What the fuck? Check. He said he would like to sign the letters with the cross circle symbol from his Zodiac watch. That is a brand of watch. What the fuck? Check. He said he would call himself Zodiac. Need I go on? He said he would wear makeup to change his appearance. He said he would attach a flashlight to the barrel of his gun in order to shoot at night. What did he do with Darlene Farron and Michael Mageau?
Flashlight.
He used a flashlight. He would fool women into stopping their cars in rural areas by claiming they had problems with their tires, then loosening their lug nuts and eventually taking them captive? What the fuck, check? You're lying! Okay, so those are the claims that he's made to this one friend. Brooke, if you said those things, you say some pretty whack shit to me. Period. On the daily. If you said those things to me...
What would you do?
I really don't know. But this guy, Dan Cheney, for having hid them from anyone for this level amount
guilty
of time.
Guilty by association.
Exactly, for these to fit so well with the Zodiac.
Bro, imagine like the first case coming up and he's sitting there watching the news, eating his bowl of cereal, and he's like...
You're fucking kidding, he did it?
That man said balls.
God damn it, Alan. God damn it, Alan. I don't know, he's fucking serious. I just think we got a little drunk on poker night.
Imagine if he said no balls. He's like, you won't, no balls.
Oh my god. I just can't get my mind around the fact.
I feel like, especially like with like, I feel like, you know, I'm joking. Well, about those things. Like, you know, yeah, that I'm joking. I feel like you get a vibe if someone's being serious. Like, if you're talking to a psychopath, I feel like you... Sometimes.
You would know.
Sometimes, yeah, of course. Yeah.
So, I totally agree with you. So, another thing is Alan is alleged to have been fascinated with, like, this concept of hunting people. And if you'll recall back in one of the first Zodiac letters in the cipher, he says, I like killing people because it is so much fun, because I like killing, because man is the most dangerous animal.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Or the most dangerous game. Mm-hmm. So according to Alan, people would be more challenging to hunt since they have quote unquote intelligence. So he was just like, I would like to hunt people versus
if I have the choice.
Yeah.
Bananas or oranges.
Same thing, bitch. different
shapes.
So Alan had a possession of codes featuring identical symbols to what was used in the Zodiac letters. And he was known to use the same unusual spelling and phrasing that Zodiac used, such as spelling Merry Christmas with 2 S's. I told you to remember that. So his brother and sister-in-law ended up giving the police a Christmas card where he had given his, you know, that has his handwriting on it, and he spelled Christmas with two S's. Now, granted, when they got this tested for a handwriting analysis, it came up as a negative match. They're like, it's not him. But it is a crazy coincidence, you know? So I have, me and Zach have another theory that I'll get into in a little bit after that, but actually, you know what? I'll get into it now. So Zach and I were talking, and he was like, bro, I honestly think there's more than one person that did this. Because if you look at it, I'll get more into Arthur Lee Allen. He just fits so well. But there are some things where, like, like his handwriting didn't match. Or, like, he had an alibi for this time of day when this happened. But, like,
the Zodiac cult.
But, like, he fits so well. Like, everything else. Yeah. Even some of the things, like, it's just so weird. So Zach and I have talked about it, and he was like, maybe it's two people. Like, there were four or five different cities and towns that he killed in, right? That would make it easier for two people to travel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, maybe one does it one place, one does it another. I don't know. It's just, it's an interesting theory.
And they plan to have an alibi the night they go out.
Exactly. Yeah. Because I really feel like Arthur Lee Allen is such a perfect candidate. So let's get into more, and we can decide towards the end if we think there's two people and he's involved in one of them. Anyways. So in late March, 1968, Allen was fired from his job as an elementary school teacher because he molested a student. So, towards Christmas 1968, he was in a downward spiral of depression and alcohol use. And this was probably amplified by his two biggest stressors, and that was his birthday and Christmas. Those were really hard for him. So his birthday is December 18th. Christmas is December 25th. He lived just down the road from the Lake Herman murders, which were the two kids that were on their first date.
Mm-hmm. December 20th.
And that was December 20th, right in the middle of his stressors. So if he's drunk and angry,
blackout,
and going on a drive and finds a car with two kids making out, and he's just like, I fucking hate my life. Like, all this stuff is incoherent because he's filled with alcohol and rage. Who's to say that he didn't take that rage out on those two kids and get a taste for what it could be like to start killing people with that release?
And killing people who have something that you don't. Because jealousy?
A good motivator.
Yeah.
So, like I said, and serial killers typically work in... they're active in areas where they're familiar, usually where they live. Like, they work in a close radius of where they've lived, where they're familiar with, that kind of thing.
I feel like they usually have some sort of time period to do, like, at what part during the day that they do it, but that's just like a random thing.
Yeah, but for this, what I'm saying is he lived only 7 minutes away from where the Lake Herman crime scene took place.
Yeah, no, for sure.
So, you know, he's got an explosive temper. He was known to park and drink alcohol in rural settings such as Lake Herman Road, and always carried weapons in his automobile. So you put that all together, mixed with rage and depression and jealousy and two kids out on Lover's Lane, and what do you get? A recipe for disaster and probably murder.
Serial killer.
Exactly. So another interesting thing about Allen, Darlene Farron knew him.
Okay.
She was a waitress 4 minutes from his house, and he had taken a liking to her. She actually had like a little, they call them painting parties. It's where you invite people over to your house and they help you paint your walls, because it fucking sucks when you have to do it alone. So you just invite people over. Sometimes you drink and paint, and it's super fun and classy, and it was just like a thing in the 70s.
Like, what's it called? Chicken pox parties.
What the fuck is that?
Where they used to all bring all their kids over to one house at once so they could just get it so they wouldn't get it again.
I did not know that was a thing.
Parties were a really big thing in the 70s.
They had some weird parties in the 70s. Some weird kind of parties.
COVID party.
So she had a painting party at her house. Mm-hmm. And she ended up inviting Lee.
Stop.
So she called him Lee. He went by Lee. Mm-hmm. And someone later, when talking to police, said that Darlene might have been involved with a shady person named Lee. And he was just, he kind of like sat there at the party. He didn't do anything. He just sat there kind of menacingly and like mysteriously and then just left. And it was like pretty threatening, pretty unapproachable.
Eerie.
Yeah. So he knew Darlene.
Okay.
Which is very strange to me, the fact that Mans knew her. Anyways, even more damning evidence, Brian Hartnell ID'd him as the man who attacked him and killed his girlfriend Celia in 1991. So they put him, his voice and his body build, everything. They were like, here's a couple of guys, pick out which one. Again, Mans was wearing a mask. And he was like, that's the one. That's the guy. And Arthur Lee Allen had been their prime suspect for a very long time.
Wow.
Yeah, so he picked him out of a ton of people. And then at the same crime scene, Zodiac left behind 10.5 shoe-sized footprints. Guess who was a 10.5 in men's? Arthur Lee Allen.
Wow.
Was a size 10.5. Okay, so if you have seen the movie Zodiac... If you have not, I highly recommend you go watch it. It's got Jake Gyllenhaal, Mark Ruffalo, and Robert Downey Jr. in it. It is a phenomenal movie. It is the story of following this case. And in the movie, they show where they're getting some pretty damning evidence on Arthur Lee Allen. They go and interview him, and he's got on a Zodiac watch. They're like, yeah, you've been fired recently for molesting a child, right? That's got to instill some anger, some rage. And he's like, I mean, yeah, I guess. And all this stuff. And they're like, well, you had a knife in your car down near Berryessa when Brian Hartnell and Cecilia were murdered. Like, what's that about? And he was like, oh, I was traveling down the countryside and I was fishing and all this stuff. And keep in mind, they had both been stabbed over 20 times with a knife.
That gives me Gypsy Rose vibes.
Yeah, I know, for real. Ooh, deja vu. So, like, they had that, and they brought that to a judge, and they're like, give us a fucking warrant. And the judge is like, I'll be goddamn, and hands them a warrant. So they go to this man's trailer. He's not home, thank God. They go in, and they open it, squirrels. I know that sounds random. He has cages upon cages on racks, all racks, all racks of squirrels in cages in his trailer, in his mobile trailer. Some are dead. Some are alive. Some are feral. Some are like, they're just running around this bitch and his squirrels. And that is literally the first thing you see. I can't imagine how bad that shit smells. And then you walk in and you're just like, this man really liked this. Like, I would have looked at that and been like, and we have our man. He's a psychotic weirdo.
I feel like squirrel is like at the bottom of the hunting, like, tower.
Man's just like, I'll hunt squirrels and humans. I call it balance.
I'm going to do it both. Get you a girl who can do both.
Same thing, bitch, different shapes. I thought that was so crazy. So then they're going around the house and they find, you know, his place is a mess, right? It's so totally nasty. It's damp and dark. They go in his room. They find a 9mm, which is the gun that has been used.
Check.
And we know he has different MOs. So do you know what an MO is?
Yeah.
Okay. For those of you who don't know, MO stands for modus operandi or mode of operation. That is what people use when they kill people. It is their mode of operation when it comes to killing people or committing crime. So his MO was guns and knives. So usually you don't see serial killers switch between the two. They usually stick with just one.
Yeah.
But
serial killers are creatures of habit.
Yes.
And that's all, period.
So he used two, which was strange. But you go into his trailer and he's got the 9mm, which was part of his MO. You've got the ammo for it. You've got a ton of other guns. Like, it's just like he... The whole thing is just like...
Well, I'll be damned.
Yeah, well, I'll be. Just standing there. But they can't get him on anything. They can't get him on Prince. They can't get him on, like, anything. He's got an alibi. He's protected. He can't...
Smart son of a bitch.
Can't give him anything. It's crazy. So, in 1991, his old nemesis, Ralph Spinelli, came forward to Vallejo PD and claimed that just prior to the Stein murder, so Stein was the cab driver, mm-hmm. Alan admitted that he was Zodiac and would prove it by going to San Francisco and killing a cabbie. How the fuck you just gonna say that and then it happens?
So you're telling me you predict the future now?
So again, I do take this with a grain of salt because it says his old nemesis. So I know if one of the people that I hate was under, I probably wouldn't do this, but you know, the word nemesis seems pretty horrible. If you're a nemesis, you're probably gonna do anything to get that person in prison. You know, like you'd say anything in their shoes to get them in trouble.
Oh, I would do that with a hell of people.
So I'm taking this with a grain of salt because although I look at it and I'm like, yo, like look at that shit, like that's a little damning.
That's a little sus.
He is like a nemesis. So I'm taking it with a grain of salt.
For sure.
So this is where I really look at this and I'm like, So, like I said, Alan was arrested on charges of child molestation, right?
Yes.
He pleaded guilty and went to jail. During his sentence, there were no Zodiac letters sent and received. None. And when he got out, they picked back up again. Listen, Zach, I really don't know anymore, bro. I really don't know anymore.
Saying because, it out loud.
Because I did so much more research than the last time we talked. And that whole thing, I forgot about that. The fact that when he went to prison, they stopped. And because how is Zodiac going to know that if it's not Arthur Lee Allen, how is Zodiac going to know that they're like, oh, that's his prime suspect. Maybe I should like chill out for a little bit so they think it's him. Like, he's not gonna have
access to that. Call it a coincidence if you will, but I'll be damned.
Yeah, I really don't know.
I think that's fact at that point.
This is not speculation.
Make it make sense.
So on August 26th of 1992, Arthur Lee Allen dies of heart issues or natural causes, quote unquote. They have never convicted anyone of these murders, even though they know they were committed by the same person. They know they're connected. They had him in their grasp, and they couldn't get him on anything, and it makes me angry.
Oh, I'm pressed.
So granted, this is only one guy.
This is just one suspect.
This was their main suspect. This was the guy they spent the most time, put the most attention on to. Like, this was the guy that they were like, it is most likely him, but couldn't get him.
Which, granted, like, that's the smartest conclusion that they came to.
And then there were things like, you know, his handwriting doesn't match. So, going to handwriting, there was a suspect named Rick Marshall.
Okay.
Rick Marshall worked at a movie theater and made movie posters. So, when Zodiac in his cipher was talking about... I like killing man because man is the most dangerous animal, or in some it says the most dangerous game. The most dangerous game is a film that it talks about a human that hunts other humans for sport.
Okay.
So it's not just killing, it is more of a refined hunting kind of thing.
Yeah. It's like the chase.
That's what it's about. Yeah, yes.
For sure.
So that movie is referenced, and that movie was shown a lot at Rick Marshall's theater. Mm-hmm. So, looking at the movie posters, the SFPD took it to a handwriting analysis, and they were like, yo, does this movie poster match, like, the ciphers and the notes and the letters? And he was like, well, I'll be. That's the closest you've got to anything. So they looked into Rick Marshall. His handwriting was really similar, but he ended up falling through as well. And just that was the only thing they had him for. Otherwise, he didn't look like the description. Yeah. Which he didn't
make sense.
So that was the only other guy that when I did research on this in junior year and watching Zodiac, and now he's the only other one where I think he's somewhat credible as a suspect. But Arthur Lee Allen will forever hold the number one spot in my heart as prime suspect. I think it is either Arthur Lee Allen or it is none of the suspects that they had. They had probably two others and that was it.
I second that. I definitely think that it was more than just one person.
You think it was more than one person?
I said that and then I was like, wait, because the whole jail thing, I think that's the thing that is like most unsettled with me, because like, but also there could totally be logic, like him being a narcissist himself, he could have the power to be like, hey, wait, don't write any letters while I'm in jail. Let's see if they figure this shit out. To the other person who was involved, because he has that much power.
I don't disagree with you.
So like, I feel like, or I feel like he could have had help either planning it or just some part of it. I think that, honestly, I don't know what I think, but
like I said, Zach is the, shout out to Zach for opening my eyes, because he's the first person to bring that to my attention that it could have, I've never heard that theory before from anyone who's looked at Zodiac cases. From the research I've done, I've never heard that. So for him to bring that to light to me, I was like,
light,
well, I'll be. you might be right. Like that kind of makes a little bit of sense to
me. Yeah, no, for sure. I think it makes,
I don't think it is more probable. I do think that, again, I'm so diehard about Arthur Lee Allen, but I do see it as probable and a possibility.
I definitely think that it would, I mean, of course, it's straight up, like, that would explain, like, why they couldn't find him on, why they couldn't peg him on certain shit.
Yeah. And, like I said in the JonBenet case, like, no matter where, I know I didn't talk about the other suspects, honestly, because they're irrelevant, but.
Irrelevant.
I know I didn't talk about them, but no matter where you camp in this case, there are going to be flaws in your side.
Yeah.
Like no one has a side that makes 100% of sense.
If they did, it wouldn't be a cold case.
Exactly. Because you look at Arthur Lee Allen and you're like, well, I'll be. Like that, well, he's pretty good. And then his handwriting doesn't match. And then his prints don't match. And you're like, well, how? Explain to me how. That's how that works. Explain to me how that works. And then I think, you know, two people. At that point, everything else fits so fucking well with Arthur Lee Allen. Maybe there's another person involved. But then I'm like, well, you know.
The jail and then the this. Yeah.
Yeah. So it just, there's.
This whole case, I feel like, is just unsettling. Like.
It is. And like I said with the JonBenet case, no matter what camp you fall into, there are going to be flaws in your theory, and that's just that on that.
And that's on period.
So, Zodiac is either dead, or he is extremely old now. He would be, God, 70s? 80s?
Yeah.
If he was 20 in the late 60s?
Yeah. No, yeah. If
he would be
like
early 30? 70s.
Yeah.
He'd be early 70s. Early to mid 70s.
One of our fucking grandpas.
Whoa. Whoa. So, anyways, ladies and gents, that is
the Zodiac Killer.
That is the Zodiac Killer.
Wow.
Unsolved. I don't.
Bonkers, bro.
Arthur Leon did it. That's all I have to say.
And honestly, I agree with anything that Ashton says, because what Ashton says is law.
And period. So. Okay, well, that is the Zodiac Killer. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your support always.
Listen to our next one
whenever
we do it.
Should be soon, because we are towards the end of this hell. So, yeah. Thank you for listening, and keep shining.